within the acts of worship, ibadat, regularly, commonly, there's a complaint which is put forward that wasawis come into worship, whispering or thoughts, or the heart's not feeling sort of good, or there's no presence of the heart in the worship that we do, or there's no taste or enjoyment felt whilst carrying out worship, or worshipping or praying. And this is a regular point put forward by people. Obviously, there are reasons for everything. And the big reason for this feeling or thought, because obviously ibadah, worship is a big thing. And if we take the biggest of all ibadat, which is salah, prayer, namaz. And in namaz, in salah, regularly, the reason a person sort of puts this complaint forward is that he gets a lot of thoughts and he thinks a lot during prayer. And in reality, the reason for this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to understand why this is. Now, for example, Allah has given us total, complete preparation for this salah. And the preparation we make for salah, there's something lacking in that preparation. And due to the preparation having something missing, it affects the actual ibadah itself, and then the waswasa, the wasawis start. The thoughts start. And the thoughts of a person go from here to somewhere else to somewhere else. And the taste and enjoyment of salah or ibadah, it ends. It's finished. So for this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us the preparation, especially for salah, and the biggest preparation is wudu, ablution. And when a person has bad negative feelings in his ibadah, wasawis, whispers, no enjoyment, no fulfillment, especially in salah, then the main reason for this is that our wudu is nakis. It is deficient. There's something missing. We haven't done wudu in the right way, in the correct way. And then the effects of that are that when a person doesn't do wudu correctly, then his ibadah isn't correct. It doesn't stay in a good state because we haven't prepared for it properly. So in Sahih al-Bukhari, there's a hadith as Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he narrated this hadith that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, amongst you, from all of you, the person who sleeps and wakes up and he goes to do wudu, then what he should do is that he, with regards to his nostrils, he should clean out his nostrils properly. He should blow. Yes, this is the word in Urdu, which is to, you know, like that, you know, we blow the nose, the nostrils. So the person who wakes up and goes to do wudu, he should, in a good way, with firmness and hard, he should blow hard, because shaitan, all night long, he sits on the bone of the nose. Allahu Akbar. That's his abode. As I was saying yesterday, that we don't see these things, but when we are scanned, everything spiritually is visible. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam statements, this is scanning of our lives and bodies in reality. He's telling us sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is what's happening to you inside, this is happening, this is good for you, he sat there, this is happening. Everything that's told in the hadith, it's scanning our body, our lives. What a great scan that he's just performed, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that no machine can scan this until today. Have you ever heard that a machine can see shaitan sitting? Can anyone see shaitan? No. But what great detailed information that all night long the shaitan sits, that's his headquarters. He sits on the tip of the bone of the nose of the person. Why? He doesn't want to go anywhere else. Rather, every part of our body, every part of our body shaitan captures in different ways. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu gave us one hint here. One hint that he's sitting in the night. Where does he sit? He sits the bone between the nostrils, he takes over that. And what's the reason then? That from this bone he starts his work, and then it's linked in it, because this bone on the nose is linked to the brain, so he captures our brain and then he destroys our salah. Subhanallah. So he affects our salah. So what is our wudu? We look. What do? that how many minutes are left. And according to the minutes, we do things. Some people, they run to the masjid from their home. They start running and pulling up their sleeves, and they do miswak while they're running down the street. You have to look at them. But in reality, wudu should be done slowly, with sabr, with patience, with thought. A person should prepare for salah. No rush. Some people, I've seen them with so much ease they do wudu, that person's amazed. Then you start feeling sleepy. With such beautiful methodology, they're doing wudu. Why? Because they are those people who know, I am preparing for a great ibadah, a great act of worship. And this wudu is the preparation that Allah has given to us. Wudu isn't hardship, it's not a tax. Wudu is not taxation, rather it's preparation. That place you're about to go to now, Allah says, the action I'm telling you, salah, before that you need to do wudu. There's many hikmah, wisdoms in wudu, that your whole body, it's being released from sins and the shaitan, from both. And shaitan, he does this work, he tries to put us off. However, brother, you see this very regularly, people running, quickly they start doing wudu, they're frying the water of their bodies, they don't gargle the water properly, they never had done miswak in their life, or they just quickly wipe it, they don't know the method of how to use miswak, they don't do masa properly, they don't clean their nostrils properly. The hukum is this, okay, fine. There's no doubt that in wudu there are faraid, there are wajibat, there are sunnan, there are mustahib. Yes, there are categories, but what do we do? How do we prepare? How do we do the wudu? We don't start from the faraid, rather we start from the mustahab. We control our wudu from the mustahab. From where? From the preferable, optional. Actually, we leave mustahab. We leave, and there are so many people from amongst us, tell me, who, how many do khula of their fingers after wudu? I don't think. Many don't even know how to do the khilal of the fingers. From where should they start? Which finger should they use? This is ilm. This is knowledge. And this ilm is in Sahih al-Bukhari. And this is the ilm. These kitabs, Kitab al-Tahara, in Sahih al-Bukhari, the section. Is there magic taught in there? Is there some sort of wizardry taught in there? No. This kitab is teaching us those important sunnahs of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, that is the summary of his life that should come into our lives. And the Prophet ﷺ, via Allah Ta'ala's instructions, his methods, Allah Ta'ala has done, Allah Ta'ala instructed the scholars, and they did research, and Allah Ta'ala showed us, Allah Ta'ala increased the intensity of the enlightenment in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah prepared his lifestyle, that this and this and this and this and this, my Nabi ﷺ. And the scholars who were Arabs, for example, Hazrat Mufti Mudaz Ali Ramdeh said that they spoke Farsi. And sometimes when he wrote Bukhari, he utilized Persian words, subhanAllah, because the language overwhelms. For example, if you're speaking, if you're Gujarati, then if you're speaking Urdu, you'll put in a word of Gujarati. And you're habitual on that, isn't it? Used to it. You sat here and you're giving a speech. Once you're giving a speech, maybe in Urdu, then you'll put in a few words of Gujarati. So this is natural, that your language will come into your work. So it's stated, for even though, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala was going to take him, that the Arabs couldn't do this work, whose language it was Arabic. So what we realize, Allah Ta'ala can make a person, select the person to do the work of deen. You don't need to be from a certain sanad or background or country, or you have to weigh, where's he from, etc. We say, oh, he's not this, he has this lacking, he hasn't got this language, he doesn't know the grammar, but it's fine. Oh, he doesn't have this. Okay, he's okay, but he hasn't got this. So we start criticizing and weighing people and measuring people. Hasad, envy, jealousy, malice and hatred. But in reality, when you see a person who's got the capacity, the sincerity, he hasn't learned that from the dunya, but in his batin he's been taught the adab and he's benefiting the world, then this is a great kamal of that person. Allah Ta'ala has given him those skills and the capacity. So, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala has given a person a lot of skills, and this is karamat of that person, that Allah Ta'ala selects people. Even if he doesn't have any skills, Allah makes him do the work. Our great pious predecessors, they were examples of this. So in Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari, Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi, this was his great achievement. Great, great achievement. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is his sunnah, that Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah, he presented and included in his kitab, Sahih Bukhari. So in here, in the chapter of Tahara, a few words of the hadith, but subhanallah, the Ahl al-Tasawwuf, the Sufis, they made their salah by implementing the sunnah. They saw that the tajalliyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they got to the maqam of presence to Allah by following this sunnah. No, it's a small sunnah, small hadith, bring a big hadith to me. Oh, this and that, we're going to fire the arrows on the bullseye and tell me lughatul arabi and this and that. No, this point that we've heard today from this hadith of Sayyid Bukhari, this will make our life. Alhamdulillah. What a great point. The shaitan is present on the bone between the nostrils. If we don't control him, then he'll destroy our salah. He'll destroy our wudu. And if our wudu is destroyed, then our salahs will destroyed. And thoughts will come, whisperings will come, and nonsense will come. When we'll come out of salah, it's as if we've got nothing to our name. Why? Because shaitan has done his work. So, the first thing is that we should know the wudu, ablution, that this is how we grab the recognition and fulfillment of our salah. The more we are careful with wudu, and we do wudu according to the mustahab and all the sunnahs, and we do khilal, that we don't do khilal of the beard. We leave it. We say, oh, it's not necessary. We don't do wiping of the ears. Oh, it's mustahab. I've done the wudu fard for wudu. Such a qawm is created, they don't know about mustahab or sunnah. This is not wajib, is it? Where's it written? It's only fard, isn't it? Let's just do the fard of wudu. I've done it. That's it. I've done my wudu. Why are you telling me sunnah, mustahab? We take shortcuts in every action today and we kill off all the deeds. So this is the reality that Allah's given us a reward. That whoever loves me, Allah says, then he will start all his actions from mustahab platform. Does anyone leave his friend? Allah has kept this as a test for the Muslimin. Otherwise Allah would make everything wajib fard. From here we realize how serious is a Muslim in his life. How serious is a Muslim in his life? The person is serious about his shop, then do you think you say, no, buy this stock and this stock and this stock and put this on the shelves, leave this stock, this will sell, put the price down, put the price up. Does he leave anything? Today go on the internet online, you can have businesses online, there are all sorts of businesses online. What business do you run? I sell shoes, I sell topis and caps and all things on one site in one company. Why? Maybe this will run, maybe this will sell, maybe this will sell. People are selling everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this principle. Subhanallah, mustahibs take the sunnah, Mu'akkada, ghayr mu'akkada. Take whatever you want, practice it, and you will go higher in your maqam. Everything you should attain. Will you do this, brothers? Inshallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, that's good. So, these points, now if we don't do wudu properly, then we'll have whispering in our salah. I don't feel like praying salah, I leave salah. And if I pray salah, then thoughts against salah come in my mind. Shaitan, the stronger he's made, because we're not doing wudu correctly. They say, who's Allah? Where's Allah come from? How can the Prophet be so great? You don't need to follow him like this. Consider that shaitan's inside your arteries, your veins, your blood. That all of the parts of your ibadah, you're not fulfilling them correctly. Shaitan's stopping you. So how will you progress beyond that? So here another hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that when somebody wakes up, after waking up, there's a hint, a great scan. I'll tell you that where shaitan sat at this moment with you. Subhanallah, no machine can tell you. No scanner. Where's he sat? He's sat on the bone of the nose, between the nostrils. Now how will he be removed? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the tariqah. He said, I've told you the scan, now it's your job. If you don't remove him, then go pray fajr, do dhikr, Quran, but you'll stay like a monkey for the whole day. It will not affect you. Then you'll complain, I do so much dhikr, I do so much ibadah, I don't feel good, my du'as are not accepted, I'm in a bad way, I feel negative, I feel sad. No. So brothers, we have to implement these formulas that Rasulullah is telling us. So he explained that here's the bone between the nostrils, the nose bone. So what do? We squeeze, we blow hard. How do you do that? We blow our nostrils out. I haven't got no other word in Urdu that I can explain to you. But when you sit down, you go like that, isn't it? This is the audible. Yeah, and this is the method, isn't it? And there's a tariqah for this as well. Shaitan, you know, some spiders don't die with all sprays. There's a special spray for different types of specific species. So shaitan, Rasulullah said, I'll tell you how we will die. If you don't do this action, then you can sit, then you think you're cleaning your nose and you're putting water in your nose. Keep on putting. But until you don't, if you don't follow the method prescribed by the Prophet, shaitan will not leave you. He will not leave you. Great point. This is sunnah. Where do we learn this from? Where does this ilm come from? Allah, the friends of Allah. Why? Why? Because the friends of Allah were made. How did they become walis of Allah? Because they implemented the sunnah. They were made for this reason, to practice the sunnah. They do, everyone does ibadah, worship, mujahidah, umrah, everyone goes on. But the walis of Allah, what do? They really focus and concentrate on the minute sunnahs. They know that their whole life and hereafter will be made by the sunnah. Before every ibadah, they say, what's the sunnah way of doing this? How did the Prophet ﷺ do this? How did he not do this? All their life long. Successful can never be a person if he does not look after the sunnah practice in his life. Not in this world or thereafter, he can never attain success. If he's dissecting the sunnah, don't look at ibadat and faces and karamat and miracles of the walis of Allah. No. First and foremost, the walis of Allah have taught us when we sat in the presence of the dust of their shoes, the first lesson we learned, whatever you want to see as a miracle in the life of the wali Allah, is how much does he practice sunnah. I went to the company of my sheikh, I was new, I'd read big kitabs, I had ilm, I had knowledge, we used to debate, we had a lot of knowledge. We thought we had knowledge, every kitab, Imam Ghazali, Rumi, this, that, English, Urdu, all the languages. University, college, we have these games we play, debating. So I went to Hazrat Sahib's company, and I knew the sign of the wali of Allah, that it must be marifah, nearness of Allah, and spirituality, and in-depth understanding. We think that the walis of Allah, they're like this. I see kashf and dreams, and as soon as I close my eyes, I'll get close to Allah, and I'll be floating, and nur, and light, and this, and that. Seeing dreams, and hallucinations, and visions, and Mahdi al-Islam's coming and all of this stuff. So I went to Hazrat Sahib. I said, Hazrat Sahib, tell me some kitab that I can read. Because I was new, the person's like this, he's like a monkey, isn't he? He doesn't know how to act. From the teacher, Hazrat Sahib smiled. He said, yes. Yes, go. And this kitab, buy it. I said, what kitab? This must be great marifa kitab, spirituality. I got up, didn't even go home first. I went to the market, to the bookshop. I said, where will I get this kitab from? What will be the points in there and great hidden treasures and secrets? I went there. I said, brother, have you got this kitab? He said, yeah, we got this kitab. I went there and he gave me this kitab. It was a thin book. And what was the name? Doing the Methods of Practicing the Sunnah. Subhanallah. This was the book. I said, huh? This book, how to pray Salah according to the Sunnah way, how to practice this, how to do the faraid, this action and that. Until today I have that kitab, Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. And that is what's given me success in my life. Until today I've still got that kitab. How many years have passed? Decades. Why? Because he told me that if you want to learn deen, then this is the deen. Don't do, you're not doing amal on this, start doing amal on the sunnah. Alhamdulillah, your heart will open up, chest will open up, marifah will come. Yes, you've got this. You pray salah, you keep fast, you do everything. But you don't have this action. Obtain this and the color of the deen will come into all of your actions today. The whole dunya, shaitans attacked and overwhelmed everyone. He's trapped everyone. So many people, shaitans in their nose when they're praying salah, isn't he? He's in your nose probably. Have you cleaned your nose properly? You haven't, have you? So shaitan's in your nose. He's inside you. And you've come to do dhikr. So he's not going to move by doing dhikr. By you doing dhikr. Because Allah's Nabi said he won't move until you don't follow the method I've told you. And he's in everyone's nose. Shall I tell you the method? Will you do amal on this? Yes. Enjoyment is this, that you depart the majlis with the amal. I say this always, innit? Whenever we go and do dhikr, I say this. And people think, this is weird. What's he saying to us? We thought he's a big Sufi coming and a big introduction they give. He's this and that. When I speak small things, they say, what's this he's talking about? He's just a minor. This is amal, my brothers. Amal. Life is about amal. And if you learn the amal, that's the best thing. So brothers, what is the method of blowing the nose? How does this shaitan run away? How will he get out of the nose, the nostril? Yes, so this is how we need to clean the nose. So the method for this is that when we put the water into the nostrils, we have to repeat this three times. What do we need to do? Is that this right, you know, the natana, the right nostril, we call it in English, nostril. We need to seal it with this hand, with this finger. We seal it, the right side, then we blow strongly, subhanAllah, and shaitan, he'll be gone. And then with this hand, we have to do it again. Three times we need to repeat this amal, alhamdulillah, alongside wudu, during wudu, and shaitan will disappear. SubhanAllah. He will shriek, scream out, and he will come out, run out of the bone. Who? Who's telling us? Imamul Anbiya, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a great deen he taught us. Look how he scanned us and taught us. So now, wudu, brothers, is a great action. And in wudu, we should learn how to do wudu. As a Mujaddad al-Uftani, rahmatullah alayh, what a great scholar, what a great shaykh, great miracles, great status. No wali Allah could reach to his status. And I'm telling you his maqam, I'm not telling you that, I'm telling you the maqam that Allah Ta'ala took him to.
That's it. That's what I'm telling you. And so on that status, all of the great pious elders at that time accepted that we accept that he is the Mujaddad and he's reached to this status. Those who doubted, then Mujaddad took them by their hands and took them to that maqam. What a great wali of Allah he was telling me. Anyway, I'll tell you something useful from what we're discussing. He said, three du'as I'll ask, whichever person until the Qiyamah says Ameen, he will also be included in these du'as. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And he said that they will all be accepted. Whoever says Ameen, because Mujaddad is asking this du'a. So whoever says Ameen will be included. Such a great personality. The walis of Allah, this is the power they have, my brothers. Allah gives in this way. Allah's walis, we don't understand who they are, the power they have. Yes, the status they have, the level they have. What great power he had until Qiyamah. He said, the Mujaddad, the du'a he's asking, Allah says, I like his du'a so much. The person who's doing the du'a is great. Whoever gets included in this du'a, he'll also get the effect of that du'a. So whoever says Ameen on that du'a that he performed will be included in that du'a until Qiyamah. Shall I start? And then get ready to say Ameen then, mashallah. Subhanallah. So he did this du'a. Imagine the way he did du'a. He said, oh Allah, look at what he's asking for. He said, Allah, that as long as I'm alive, then please give me the tawfiq to practice the sunnah. Ameen. What a great du'a, eh? And whoever says Ameen will be included. And he said, when? When I'm leaving this world, when you are taking me from this world, alhamdulillah, then please allow me to have my life totally according to the sunnah. Ameen. And when I leave this world, then allow me to be included amongst the people of the sunnah on the day of resurrection. Ameen. This is the dua of Mujaddad al-Afsani rahmatullah alayh. This is the real dua. And he said that the success hinges on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing else. Yes, he asked for the greatest treasure. These three things, if you get this, impossible that that man will not get paradise. Forget that, he'll get the highest level in paradise. Highest level. So this is the real article of life, my friends. This is deen. Where do you get this? From the feet of the walis of Allah. From their shoes, sitting in their company. You don't get nothing else. You get amal from the company of the wali Allah. We say, why is this necessary? Why do you have to do this? This is not necessary. You can leave this. This is optional. Not optional. They start debating and arguing. Because you don't want to practice. People who don't want to practice, they start debating. Oh, he's practicing sunnah. He's degrading me. I look bad. Others thought I was good, but he's better. But the walis of Allah teach this. We don't even know that how should we hold the shoe when we put the shoe on. Do you know how to hold the shoe? And I'll tell you in the next gathering, inshallah. What is the sunnah of holding the shoe before we put it on? We don't even know that. So these things, this is the true deen, the Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tariqah. Then. And that's why we go to the company of the walis of Allah. Otherwise, alhamdulillah, there are many things that you can learn from many places. Ulama ikram, scholars give bayans and speeches, but you don't get these things anywhere. Why? Because they have love ingrained in their hearts, true love in the heart of the wali of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has expanded their chest and their hearts. Allah has instilled that love into their hearts. They don't think about anything else. Apart from that, can there be any other action you learn from the company of the wali of Allah? That why should I do this? If the Prophet of Allah has done it this way, why should I do it another way? Why? Because my lifestyle cannot accept that. My lifestyle, my feelings, my emotions don't accept that I do any action away from the Prophet's sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was once a sahabi and she came and she had given birth to a child. And Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu was a special khadim and he presented this hadith and she brought the child and she said, the Prophet said, bring the child, let me see. And there was a reason. And the Prophet took the child in his lap and the child urinated. And here, this is a Kitab al-Tahara. There are many masail that come out of this one event. So many masail of this one hadith where the child urinated in the lap of the Prophet ﷺ, how the Prophet ﷺ held him, washed his clothes, how to wash the urine of the boy or the girl when they start drinking milk, etc. Every action of the Prophet ﷺ was not a minor. We start thinking, why did he do this, etc. Because he wanted to teach the ummah every minute thing before whilst he was in the world. So a child who urinates on the Prophet ﷺ, the greatest of mankind of all, this was a reason this was done, because the masail were to be taught to the ummah. Do you understand? This wasn't done for nothing. So now let's fast forward. Yes. Subhanallah, this was a sunnah, this became a sunnah, the child came and urinated on the lap. For those people who are the lovers, the Sufis, the walis of Allah. So Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afghani rahmatullah alayhi, I'll present an event from his life then, that when he was about to die and he knew he was close to death and he was weak at that time, then he ushered his son. He said, "Is there any child who's been born today? And he said, "Very difficult. How will I bring the child?" But Allah Ta'ala prepares himself. He said, "Yes, yes, in our neighborhood there's a child. He's been born." Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afghani said, bring him. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he allows his mahbub to do the amal. Practice. So the child was born, the baby, and the baby sat on his lap and he urinated. Say subhanallah. And Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afghani said loudly, "Alhamdulillah, I was scared that I'm about to depart from this world and was afraid that maybe I will not implement this sunnah before I leave this world." Imagine his concern, brothers. Imagine his concern. May Allah Ta'ala give us this passion and desire, deep-rooted love, so that we can do amal on the sunnah. Big sunnahs we have sacrificed and left in our lives. We think we're chaudhries. We have conviction on our tasbihs and Quran. No, we will not succeed like this. Allah's qurb is only attained via sunnah. So in wudu, we need to blow our nostrils 3 times whilst we're doing wudu. And then we will have fulfilled the complete wudu. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice the sunnah. Ameen.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin نبينا ونجي وزوجه وموت المؤمنين وزوجاته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا تطيبا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وعزبنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعملنا كل ذلك إننا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعذنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واجعلنا في زمرته يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اكتحاجاتنا يا داعي البليات اتبع بلياتنا يا شافي المراد اشفع مرادنا يا شافي المراد اشفع مرادنا يا شافي المراد اشفع مرادنا اللهم اغفنا في بدني اللهم اغفنا في سمعي اللهم اغفنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم دمرهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رنجرهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رنجرهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.